Welcome to Christ Church International's podcast. We are a faith-filled, spirit-filled gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus. Souls from every nation, one at a time. We are based out of northern Colorado in a beautiful and vibrant city called Longmont. Come join us as we proclaim Jesus is Lord to our generation. Our key verse for this year is Hebrews 9:11. Jesus has become the high priest of good things to come for you. All right, I'm excited to preach today. Did you know that I'm a man of passion?
Yes.
And I'm fired up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, you can have what you say. And I'm having what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. So, thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you right now for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word would go forth in power today. I thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter how many people are here, because one person could radically get changed because of this. I thank you, Lord, one person could become the next Billy Graham who hears this message, Lord. I thank you, numbers don't matter. I thank you, Lord, your word says that you can deliver by many or by few. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that these are a mighty people. I thank you that you see them as mighty men and women of God. You see this church of 400 mighty and strong and world-changing in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, and I bless this message in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. All right. So I want to talk about, actually, I have to grab something real quick. I have a little example I want to use here in just a second. Okay, so first off, let's go to Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. And this verse was on my heart. It says, Habakkuk 2, 2 says, "Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." And the words I saw were, it was appointed time. And so I was kind of meditating on this, writing on this. And I want to talk about three words here today. Aloha, Kairos, and Hamakom. And we talked about that before, so I'm kind of clarifying what I'm thinking. And so I was thinking, there's an appointed time for the vision. There's an appointed time that things have to happen, and they're going to happen. And that's just so exciting. And a great example is Jesus will return. That's an appointed time. That will happen. So I just want to give you an example. The Lord put it in my heart to write down my vision. I'm passionate about the creative arts. I have my own company, Wheatland Studios. And so this is just an example today that there was a day that it was appointed for me to hold this in my hands.
What is it?
It's a vision book. Okay, it's a vision book that the Lord's put in my heart. So I have, it's kind of a portfolio / vision book of all the things I've done, some video, film, artwork. Very exciting for me. And so, Wheatland Studios, I'll just kind of tell you a little bit more. Wheatland Studios, the Lord put it in my heart to start a studio, and the details are working out, and there's a fruition coming here. You know, Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision, make it plain. And so we talked a while ago about vision boards, dream boards, and I really feel like that's just the start. It's opening your heart to say, what could God do in my life? Right? And it's just an idea. And so the Lord put in my heart, you need to write the vision, make it plain. So on the back it says, Jesus said to them, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. So the Lord has called me to be a minister of the gospel and a businessman. And so everything we do, and this applies to everyone as a believer, everything we do should be done for the gospel of Jesus Christ, regardless of what your vocation is. You should be doing it to preach the gospel. Doesn't matter if you're a school teacher, a housewife, a pastor, whatever. You should be preaching the gospel and being a light. So the point I want to make here is there was a moment God knew that I would hold this in my hands. There was an appointed time that the vision would come to pass. So that's the point I wanted to make with this. And I'm going to talk about appointed time. That's just exciting. There is a moment. There's a moment in time where something happens, and God has put it on his calendar, and God has put you on his calendar. Like, we're talking about God wants to meet you with the surprise of goodness. There's a moment where God is going to walk into your life. You know, he is in our lives, we're believers, he's in our heart, But there's a moment where God meets you. And that's appointed. It's on his calendar. It's so cool. So let's talk about three words: aloha, kairos, and hamakom. So aloha, some of us, I'm sure, are familiar with the word. It's Hawaiian. And Dad and Mom, they went on a sabbatical to Hawaii, and they came back with this revelation. I believe it was through that, of the word aloha. And the literal meaning of aloha is the presence of breath, or the breath of life. It comes from alo, meaning presence. It means front and face, and it means... and ha, meaning breath. And so the example was, and apparently, you know, in ancient Hawaii, they would greet each other, and it wasn't just romantic, but they would greet each other forehead to forehead, eye to eye, and they would say, ha, that was the greeting. Aloha. And there was the exchanging of the breath of life. And so, I mean, you know, you get to smell their breath, good or bad, like you're right there in their face. But they're exchanging the life of each other. And that's so cool. We know that God has put eternity in our hearts. In every culture, there's something like that, unique. You know, I partner with a ministry that, well, Wycliffe, they translate the Bible, and I love it when they talk about how one key word, they had to translate it in such a way. There was a classic example of, the song, "The Blood of Jesus Washes White as Snow," and the blacks were like, what? You know, white's dirty. So, you know, so they translate it, black is coal. So, like, they have to figure out how to translate the language in such a powerful way. And it's really cool because God actually puts keys in a language that break through and bring the gospel in a powerful way. There was one that was like, it described such a love that was uncompromising and, you know, regardless of what you do. And they had to use a specific word, and that was the only word they could use, and it wasn't really used that much. So there's... really cool. So aloha, it means presence, it means front face, it means, and then plus ha was breath, the presence of divine breath. So that's what it means. Yes. So Genesis 2:7, we know this is biblical. It's so cool that God put it in the Hawaiian language. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So God... you know, you can have that picture, you know, God formed him out of the dust of the ground. And, you know, just like was the prophet, was it Elijah, got on top of the boy, and God's breathing life into Adam. And it's so cool. You think about it. Adam woke up eye to eye with God. Like, he woken up. He was called into being, looking God in eye to eye, face to face. And that's what aloha is face to face. And that's so cool. And then Jesus himself, I was just getting into this last night. It's really cool. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says, "The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." And I'd love to teach on that because we're born like Jesus. We're born again, so we're life-giving spirits. We're not just living beings, okay? And Jesus, what he did is, you know, the believer is like a new species because God has come to dwell in us. He's reborn our spirit. Isn't that so cool? And so, that is so cool. That's awesome. John 20, 21 through 22, Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them. You know, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So they received the Holy Spirit. And that was the breath of life, the aloha of God. So aloha means the presence of divine breath. And I'd like to say this sounds a lot like God's glory, his power, presence, and his goodness. You know, the breath of life, if it can call, it can create mud into a living being, I would say that's power. You know? And if he's breathing on you, that's his presence. Like, he's there. And just the fact that he would do that is his goodness. So that is the glory of God manifest, the aloha of God. I think that's so cool. So he's face to face to you with his aloha presence. So that's the first word I just wanted to talk about. The second word is kairos, which is a Greek word, and it means a fixed or definite period, a season, sometimes an opportune or seasonable time. And also it means a measure of time, a larger or smaller portion of time, a fixed and definite time. So It also means opportune or seasonable time, the right time. So kairos is like a time period or like a fixed point in time. And, you know, the Hebrew counterpart is moed. I actually looked Habakkuk 2:2, so appointed is moed. So that's the Hebrew counterpart. It means a fixed time, a fixed point in time. So let me give a couple examples of kairos. Oh, yeah, I was going to say that God has you on his appointment calendar. Just like when you got saved, that was an appointment. That was a kairos event. But God wants to continue to do that. You know, in the Hebrew, the moed, one of the meanings of it is season or like a festival, a feast. And so that's why God appointed seasons and feasts, you know, like Passover, and what are the ones coming up, the Feast of Trumpets, and then Sukkot. Like God wanted appointments with his people where he designated, this is when I'm going to meet with you. And so that is moed and kairos. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're reading this book of the month. The book of the month that we're reading this month is Deuteronomy, which, man, I didn't know Deuteronomy was so exciting, actually. It's been a while. So Deuteronomy chapter 5, this is an example of kairos. I know most of us know, you know, God imparted the Ten Commandments to Moses, but I didn't realize how he did it because I've been out of it for a while. Deuteronomy 5, chapter 4. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. Now, he's not just talking about Moses. He's talking about the people, everybody. Like, what a day that was. What a powerful day. Deuteronomy, and let's go to chapter, the same chapter, verse 22. After God imparts, he actually spoke the Ten Commandments to them. He said it to everybody. These are the Ten Commandments. And then it says, verse 22, these words the Lord spoke to all your assembly in the mountain from the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. So it was, when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he still lives. So they saw this, you know, out of the fire on the mountain, out of the burning cloud, you know, out of the cloud and the burning mountain, God spoke to them. Like, that was a kairos event. That was a fixed point in time where God's like, I'm going to impart the Ten Commandments to my people. You know, God himself, bam, came down on the mountain. That is so cool. So that is a kairos event. And then I want to talk about the word hamakom. Mom came back from Israel, and she was talking about this, which is really a cool word. I was trying to find if it's in the Bible. I don't know. You know, I'm not a Hebrew scholar yet or anything. But I was looking it up, and apparently the word hamakom is used quite often in, you know, like funerals. They would say it to comfort people, like, let the Lord be your hamakom, or the Lord is their hamakom, which means God is omnipresent, but it literally means the place. And the definition that I found on the internet was that this means that God is in of himself, the address of all existence. Like, isn't that cool? God is the address of all existence. So God is the place. He's the place to be, right? God is the place to be. And so we know in the Old Testament, the Old Testament teaches us that the Levites, they were a tribe of one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they were called to be set apart as the priests. And in Numbers 18 and Deuteronomy 10, you know, it says, therefore, the Levi has no portion nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God promised him. So the Levites were not given land. They were not given a portion because God said, the Lord is your portion. I really believe that is symbolic for us today, to keep our eyes on Jesus, to keep our eyes on the Lord. He's our portion, yeah. And anything that he can give us is extra. Yeah. So we need to focus on God and not focus on a church building, not focus on 400, not focus on, you know, the stuff you need, the relationships you desire, whatever, the money you want, the car, the motorcycle, like whatever it is. We're supposed to focus on God because he's our hamakom, he's our place. And he's our portion. You know, the Lord said that, he said that his people are his portion. And that's really cool. The Lord has come to dwell in us forever by his Spirit. So it's like God has made us the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes. So we're his place, which is so awesome, but he's our place. Yes. You know, I was thinking this yesterday. It's good to get out sometimes. And I was thinking, you know what? I'm the kind of guy that wants to get things done and get home or whatever. But I was thinking, you know what? God is my place, so wherever I am, I'm home. So I don't need to be in a rush to go anywhere. Because I'm home right now, right? Because if God's my place, I'm at home. Wherever I am, I'm home. Isn't that cool? That's really cool. Yes. So, everything we could ever need comes from him, from El Shaddai. He is the all-sufficient one. You know, and if there's anything that we ever need, he could create it for us. What more do you need? You don't need anything else. If you need a house, God will provide it. If you need healing, God will provide it. Whatever. If you need money, God will provide it. So if we focus on him as our inheritance, then he'll manifest everything we need. So let's go to, actually, let's just go back a couple chapters in Deuteronomy. I was reading these, and these really encouraged me. In Deuteronomy 1, verse 31, it says, "And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son." That's really cool. I like that. The Lord wants to carry us and take care of us like a father. And then it says in verse 33, it says, "Who went in the way before you to search out a place for you." So God has gone ahead of us to search out a place for us. And that's, so there's the two meanings of hamakom. First off is God is our place. God is our inheritance. God is our portion. And if we focus on that, you know, if you focus on second things, you won't get first things. That's right. So you have to focus on first things first, and that's God. So if we focus on him, then he'll give us all the second hamakom stuff. So I believe that the hamakom represents God himself. He's our place. He's our portion. Yes. And if we get our eyes off that, we'll lose the other stuff we want. And then the hamakom is the second place that God actually wants to give us a portion, a place, an inheritance. You know, we're reading the book of Joshua, the book of Judges, the book of Deuteronomy, and it's constantly talking about the land, the promised land, the inheritance, the possession. Like, they had been promised by God to take the land. And so God has a portion for us. So that's the hamakom. It's our place. It's our portion. And, you know, Matthew 6:33 that I said earlier says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So, hamakom, let's focus on God, and let's make sure that he's number one. Yep. All right, so now that I got those 3 points explained, I want to talk about the glory of God. So, Dr. Savelle said 2014 is the year of the greater glory of God. And he said, talk about it. I'm expecting this year to experience, before the year is out, the glory of God, which is the presence, the power, and the goodness of God. I'm expecting it. And you know what? I'm also expecting the unexpected. I'm expecting the surprises of God's goodness. So let's talk about glory. You know, quite often, I think the church, we focused in the past about, you know, the Shekinah glory of God, which is the manifest, like cloud. Like, we just talked about it. On the mountain, there was a cloud that was manifest. Like, God will manifest himself in some ways like a cloud. And we talk about that, you know, the rumblings, the fire, the lightning, all the cool fire and stuff. And we want to see that. I love for God's presence to be manifested in a service with a cloud where, you know, we've heard stories where you can't see anybody. Like, Dr. Savelle even told us, what did he say, twice he's been in a service like that, where he said they couldn't even see somebody sitting next to him. That's how thick the cloud was. You know, on Azusa Street, when God was re-firing up the Pentecostal, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which had been dormant for so long for some reason. The Lord brought it again in the turn of the century, 1900s, and they experienced it to such a level the kids would play hide and seek in the cloud because they could, you know, not see each other. Isn't that cool? So that's awesome. That's awesome. But the thing that Dr. Savell was talking about, and let's go to Acts 6, 38. Actually, it's 10, 38. Yeah, I won't build up all the reasons that he had for these 3 points. But he said that in the ministry of Jesus Christ, we see the glory of God manifest. I think we could all agree. You know, Jesus is the Son of God. He's fully man, fully God. And Jesus walked in such power because he was manifesting the glory of God wherever he went. Jesus said greater works we're supposed to do. So if we see the glory of God manifest like this verse, this city will be radically changed. This church will be radically changed. So let's start expecting and walking in God's glory. So it says in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So there's the three different indicators or factors, the glory of God. First is the power. It says, Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good. So there's the goodness of God. And healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So that's the presence of God. So it's the power, the goodness, and the presence of God. So if God's power is there, do you think sickness and disease can stay?
No.
If God's goodness is there, do you think sickness and disease can stay? No. If you think, if God is there in his presence, do you think that the sickness will stay? No. So if God manifests these three things, that's awesome. That's the power of God manifest, the glory of God manifest. All right. So we have to have these three things show up in our lives and our churches if we are going to see the world change with the power of the gospel. So I want to talk about where Aloha, Kairos, and Hamako meet. I think this is pretty cool. Those are three words the Lord has given to us as a ministry, kind of become part of our vocabulary. Yep. So, number one, Dr. Seville was telling us to expect the unexpected. And he had some really good messages. We went on a motorcycle tour, and at the different churches, he was teaching on that. And he said that our job is not to understand or figure out how God is going to bring things to us or cause us to be delivered. You know, in the story of the four lepers. Yeah. So in the story of the four lepers, there was a city that was besieged and it was bad. People were doing bad things because they had nothing to eat, nothing to drink. It was a bad situation. And there was an officer that the prophets came to and said, tomorrow, grain is going to be cheap. You're going to be able to buy and sell. It's going to be plenty of food. He's like, whatever. Do you really mean to tell me that this is possible? And so Dr. Savell was saying to us that instead of being like that, instead of saying, oh, well, the prophet just said this year I'm going to experience the greater glory of God and expect the unexpected, the surprise, yada, yada, yada. Like, no. Yep. He said we're supposed to be like Cornelius, not Cornelius, the centurion, who's had a servant who was sick. And Jesus, you know, he came to Jesus and said, my servant's sick. And Jesus said, I'll come to your house. He's like, no, just say the word only. That's all I need from the prophet, the man of God, the Son of God. All I need is just to hear the word, and I'll believe it. So that's our job. Say, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to manifest. I don't know how my financial deliverance or how my physical deliverance or my mental deliverance, whatever it is. I don't know how it's going to happen. I just believe the prophet. That's all you have to do to me. I'm just take you at your word. You say it, I believe it. That's all I need. So that's how we have to posture ourselves. So I don't know about you, but I'm expecting surprises. I'm expecting the unexpected like never before. And when it happens, we have to say, that was the favor of God. You know, when you're at a restaurant and the barista burns your bagel, half of the bagel, and she didn't have to give you three slices. She could have thrown both the bad slices away. Well, one of them was good. She gave me three. That's the favor of God, right? Because that's awesome. I like three slices. That's favor. So that's small things, big things. We have to expect it. I'm expecting it. Yeah, Andy just had a testimony, you know. He got a, Andy, you got a free motorcycle. Amen. So he got a free motorcycle. We're believing for motorcycles. That's surprise, surprise, surprise. We expect the surprises of God is goodness. You know, we've been declaring favor for 2 years now faithfully, and we're expecting it every day. It's on me. I'm excited. Praise the Lord. Psalm 21:3 says, "We have been, well, for you meet him or surprise him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head." Now remember what I was talking about. There's an appointed time. God has an appointed time to meet you. Okay? So it's a fixed time. He's on your calendar. You're on his calendar. I'm going to meet Matthew this day. You know? God's going to meet Matthew August 31st, Sunday, August 31st, 2014. God's going to meet him today. I'm on God's calendar today. Praise the Lord. That's good. "For you meet him, surprise him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head." You know, let me share something real quick. We know the law of seed time and harvest, right?
Yeah.
It's great being around men of God, you know, on motorcycles, for one. There was one really great guy, and I really like him, and he bought us lunch. He bought the whole table lunch. And something he said afterwards is, if you want to receive surprises, you have to sow surprises.
Yeah.
So that kind of challenged me. It's like we have to not just be expecting surprises,
yes,
but as the Lord leads us, and as we're looking, we have to surprise others too. Because you're sowing surprises. You're not putting anything on them and say, "Oh, well, because I surprised Dad, he has to surprise me." No. Because the Word says if we sow, you know, press down, shake together, running over, will men heap in your bosom. For we're expecting men and women to heap into our bosom and to sow back to us surprises. And we're not expecting bad surprises.
No.
Right? God doesn't have anything bad to give us. You know, the Bible says, if you ask the Lord for a loaf of bread, he's not going to give you, you know, a rock or a serpent or whatever. And he said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you good gifts? So God wants to give us good gifts. So where do these three words, Aloha, Kairos, and Hamako, meet? I wrote this down. I think this is really great. By expecting the unexpected and surprises of God's goodness and favor, we are expecting Kairos events where the aloha of God, which is his presence, his power, and his goodness, that they would bring us into and manifest our hamakom, our place of inheritance and portion. So we're supposed to be expecting Kairos events. We're expecting those Kairos events where the aloha of God, which is the glory of God, his presence, his power, and his goodness, to bring us into and manifest our hamakom,
yes,
which is, you know, obviously the Lord is our first thing. He is our place. But expecting the Lord to manifest our hamakom, our place of inheritance and our portion. Psalm 102:13. You know, I want to share something with you. Yesterday, I'm expecting divine appointments. You know, Dad said, "Hey, expect divine appointments." Duh. I'm expecting divine appointments. And I don't know how this will work out exactly or how it has, but I was driving on a motorcycle up to Estes Park, and there was a motorcyclist who had wiped out. I was the first person there. He had a group, and they were all ready. I didn't get a chance to see how the guy was doing, but I felt like, hey, they're adults. They can handle it. And so I drove a bit further, and I was just kind of thinking, did I do the right thing, you know? There are a bunch of people there, and somebody said, call 911. Well, there just happened to be a fire station just 2 minutes up the road. So I was the first person. I got there, and I don't know how the reception is in that canyon. It could be terrible. So I was like, hey, guys, did you get a call? They're like, no. It's like, well, this guy wrecked his bike. So I believe that that was a divine appointment for me. And, you know, we want to be the person, the man with the pitcher, you know, who has the provision somehow that God can use. And so there's that kind of appointment where we're the guy who has the supply. But there's also the opposite where God has people for us. They're the supply, and God's going to get us to them. So God wants you to be at the right place at the right time, a divine appointment. You know, Israel was that guy's, Caesar's divine appointment this week. right? He didn't know he was going to get saved, but that was a Kairos event where somebody comes. See, you guys are a Kairos event just waiting to happen.
Yes,
okay,
I am.
So don't, here, don't, I challenge you, don't miss it. Don't miss out, because somebody is waiting for you to be their Kairos event where they meet God face to face, and his aloha breath of life will radically change them and rebirth their spirit. So don't miss it. If you miss it, you know, repent and ask for another opportunity. If you miss it, just say, Lord, I ask that you thrust forth labors in that person's life. If you weren't sure, if it was the wrong moment or whatever, just say, Lord, I missed it, forgive me. Send somebody in this person's life. Praise the Lord. So we want to be those Kairos events. So I want to say this again. By expecting the unexpected and surprises of God's goodness and favor, we are expecting Kairos events where the aloha of God, his presence, power, and goodness bring us into the and manifests our hamakom, our place of inheritance and portion. Psalm 102:13 says, you will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. There's a set time God has to favor you. He has it on his calendar. So what is faith's response? You know, you can see it here, say, that's a nice message, whatever. We'll see. We'll see what happens. You could say that. Or you could say, I receive it and thank you for it. So that's what faith says. I receive it and thank you. I receive it and thank you. And, now, you know, faith is now. It's now faith. God calls those things that are not as though they were. Faith response is to receive and to thank and to talk about it as if it's done and completed, to thank the Lord for it as if it's already done. So, Lord, we thank you for these Kairos events. We thank you, Lord, for your glory. I thank you, Lord, that you're manifesting it right now. I thank you, Lord, for the hamakom. I thank you that it's our place of inheritance and portion. Lord, I thank you that you are our hamakom. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that there are divine appointments today that we are going to experience in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Lord, I just thank you that the same grace and anointing that's on Dr. Savelle for favor is on me and on this ministry and on my parents. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. So what another part of faith's response, I saw a book a while ago, and it caught my eye because of the title. Because of the title. And I told you this before. It said, what to expect when you're expecting. And it had a picture of a pregnant woman. And I was just like, wow, that's a really great title. Because that's what faith is. It's what to expect when you're expecting. Okay, if you're actually pregnant, you're going to be acting differently in terms of preparing for the baby. Okay, you're going to be acting differently. You're going to be planning. You're going to be spending money. You're going to be preparing the room. You're going to be getting a bigger house or apartment. You're going to be maybe getting a bigger car. Like you're preparing. You know, your husband should be really focusing on making more money or providing or whatever, getting serious about life, whatever it is. Like, there are things you do. Right? There's things you do when you're expecting. So that, you know, if we're pregnant with faith, we are going to act differently. And so faith is not just, oh, praise God, I believe it, and walk out. Faith is, what are you planning to do? Like, what are you doing? Faith expects, it looks, it plans, it prepares, it completes, and it talks about as though it is. And that's what God is doing in our ministry, our church. He's saying, how should you be acting if you're going to become 400? And faith prepares. You know, there's a verse in my heart. I wrote in my book, 1 Corinthians, talking about the Olympics. It says, run in such a way that you win. Run in such a way that you win. And if you're a gold medalist contender, it first starts in your heart. And you first say, what does it take for me to get gold? Yep. There's a lot of people who just say, I just want to get this. The Olympics as an example. I just want to get to the Olympics. That's my goal. That's my goal. But God says, run to get gold. Don't run to get second. Don't run to get third. Don't run to qualify. You're supposed to be running to win. And that applies to our life. You know, life isn't a game of sports. And quite often, you know, game of sports is great because somebody wins, somebody loses. Occasionally there's a tie. But in life, God wants us to position ourselves in such a way that we know we're winning.
That's right.
And that is so cool. So if you're expecting to come in first, you're going to start acting differently about how you approach your daily routine, about how you preach the gospel, about how you organize the church. You want to win, and so you're going to change how you do things. So faith expects, it looks, it plans, it prepares, it completes, it talks about. You know, if you're expecting healing in your body, you should be planning on doing physical exercise. You know, there's some stuff that the Lord's challenged with me. If you have an injury in your body, you throw up your hands and say, well, I can't do anything. Well, that's not true, because one part of your body doesn't disqualify the rest, right? So what you're doing is you're operating in unbelief and fear. And the Lord's really worked that in my heart. So there are certain things we have to change in how we do. So we have to expect the unexpected. We have to expect surprises of God's favor and his goodness. And the Lord has promised us an inheritance, which is the Hamakom. And I really feel that the Lord is, he wants you to possess the land. So God promises you an inheritance, and you don't have to pay for an inheritance. Who would want to pay for an inheritance? Right? If it's your inheritance, you're crazy and silly if you want to pay for it. But there's something you have to do to possess your inheritance. And so there's, you know, God, Casey was actually preaching at me the other day. He's not here today. But he said, God's not just going to, you know, drop like a motorcycle, for instance, in your lap. You know, you have to get on Craigslist or whatever you have to do, right? So there's something you have to do to appropriate the inheritance. And so that's where obedience comes in. Right. This man is an alert man. So we have to be alert and active and hearing what the Lord wants to do for us. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to impart something to you today, and not just this message. You know, I just want to encourage you guys. It's easy in life to not be as hungry for God and to not hang on men, not to hang on the words of men of God. Like, you know, being around Dr. Seville, I noticed that myself a little bit, and I don't like that. You know, when I was younger, I would say, like, early teens, like, I was just, like, I wanted to be around men of God, and I wanted everything they had to say. And I still feel that I'm that way, but I want that more. Because there's an impartation that can come when a man of God is in your presence. And so if we're expecting, that's why I sit on the front row. I remember making that decision back at the Grange. So I want to be on the front row because I'm getting this. So there's an expectation that we have to posture ourselves with. So I want to read something from Romans. What does the word say? It says that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. And I believe God has filled me because of that. God has filled me in a unique way. You know, not to boast or brag, but, you know, I remember dad appropriated. He's like, Derek Prince, I want you to bless us. And so we received the blessing of Derek Prince. I received it through Dad, because he wouldn't pray. He prayed hands of you, prayed for me. So I received that. And then 2 weeks ago, I think it was, Dr. Seville ordained me into the ministry with my dad. And I was not expecting that. That was a surprise of God's favor. Surprise, surprise, surprise. So, you know, Dave Duell has prophesied over me and spoken over me. And if you can be around men of God, like, be around them. And expect. You know, I think of the woman with the issue of blood. Like, everybody was pressing around Jesus. You know, it was a huge throng of people, multitude, and people were bumping into him, touching him. You know, probably, you know, there's the kind of people like, high five, hey, Jesus, how are you doing? But they weren't expecting anything. And Jesus is like, yeah, sure, good, cool, great. You know, those guys were buddy-buddy or whatever. But then this one woman said, I'm going to take this electricity out of him. I'm going to take it. And she received that electric impartation. Praise the Lord. The anointing's here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord has to use men. That's how he does things, men and women of God in this earth. That's how he wants to do it. So it says in Romans 1:11, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. So God wants to impart to you today some spiritual gift so that you may be established and through me. And I'm going to say what it is. We were in Castle Rock during this tour with the Chariots of Light. And I wasn't feeling very well. I just kind of like, you know, listening to Dr. Savelle, and your flesh is like wrestling with you, and you're like, no, I believe this, no, I believe this, no, I believe this, I believe this, I believe this, I believe this. And so I walked out, and Dr. Savelle was all by himself preparing to go on his motorcycle, and nobody's talking to him. I'm like, okay. Example here. People are not. So I walked up to him, and I was like, I just want to start speaking faith, you know? So I just started saying, you know, I believe I receive everything you had to say about favor, and I receive it. And I just started telling him that. And so what he did is he grabbed both my hands, and the thing I remember, what he prayed was he prayed that the frequency of experiencing God's favor would be on me. And so that's what I want to impart today for those of you who receive that. And it's so cool because Dr. Savelle, his stories are unreal in frequency and in magnitude. And you could listen to him all day, every day, for who knows how long, tell you stories to the point where either you have to say he's a chronic liar or God is a living God. And I go with the second one. God is a living God. Because I've begun to experience the frequency of God's favor, and I've received that. And you know what? That's what God wants to do through his glory. If people say, there's no explanation, but God's alive.
Yes.
You know, I just read it. Jethro came to Moses, and Moses is like, this is what happened. They sat down, normal guys, having a cup of coffee or whatever. and he starts telling them everything that happened in Egypt. This has happened. Here we are. Here are all these people who were slaves with gold and silver all over them, dripping over them. And he said, God delivered us miraculously. And Jethro said, now I know the Lord is God. There's no other God. He was a priest. He was like a Midianite priest or some tribe. And he was serving other gods. And he said, there is no other God. Praise the Lord. So I want to impart that anointing onto you today to the frequency of God's favor would increase on our lives. Praise the Lord. So ushers, if you'd be ready here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So let's, you know, if you don't want it, the Lord's not going to give it to you. Praise the Lord. Lord, I just impart this anointing in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I impart this anointing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I impart it. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, I impart this. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I impart this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Where are the ushers? In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else who would like to receive? Praise the Lord. Okay, in Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I impart this anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this, Lord. This frequency, increased frequency of the favor of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, it just took a split second for Jesus, for that woman to be completely healed. It didn't take let's go to Christian rehab for 50 years. It's an instantaneous thing. And so we just receive it by faith today. Lord, we just thank you for, what you're doing in our church, Lord, in our hearts, our lives. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to complete the work that you started in us today. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you that that same spirit that's on Dr. Seville is upon us. That same spirit, Lord, that apostolic anointing, Lord, to go to the nations, Lord. I thank you it's upon us, Lord. That favor, Lord, that is surrounding us like a shield is upon us. And I'm expecting, even before this gathering is over, Lord, that we're going to experience surprises of your goodness and your favor. Praise the Lord. And Lord, I just thank you that it's just going to spill out into the streets, Lord, into our workplaces, Lord. And it's just, people are going to just, we're going to be known for the favor of God. And people are going to say, wow, you're just the luckiest person ever. And we're going to say, no, it's the favor of God. I thank you, Lord, for new boldness, Lord. Just like Dr. Seville, regardless of whose presence around, we just say, that's the favor of God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's podcast. We would like to invite you to come join us sometime soon. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Byrne Building, 527 Main Street, Longmont, Colorado. You can find out more about our ministry by going to www.christchurchinternational.org or www.innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado, 80502.